This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Cap and Company, sports talk while you're on the clock.
Massive week ahead. We're going to get sports back. Telling you, I know there are some people out there that do not see it. I think you're going to hear that the NBA is back. You're going to hear the NHL back. And with the lack of rhetoric suddenly coming out of the baseball discussions, you know, you had Blake Snell make some really, really stupid comments. You've had people on the management side make some really dumb comments. And all of a sudden, everybody has shut their mouths. It's like the memo went out from the head of the Players Association and from the commissioner of the owners. Shut your effing mouths and let me get a deal done here, both sides. And we're hearing that the owner's proposal will be handed to the Players Association today in baseball. And I believe this NBA thing is a done deal. They'll play down in Disney. And then hockey, we'll hear the details, but it looks like a 24-team tournament. And the Blackhawks will be part of that. Are you excited? 312-332-3776. We've all craved live sports, and you're going to get live sports. I'll be stunned if we don't have live sports playing by some point in the beginning of July. It will shock me. We'll see. We've been shocked before, but I got pretty good sourcing on this, and I really believe it's going to happen. 312-332-3776. I'm David Kaplan. This is Cap and Company. This is ESPN 1000. Danny Zetterman, after a lengthy, where were you gone, Danny? 2 weeks?
6 days, Cap.
You were gone six whole days. I was gone. I took off Thursday, Friday. It was great. It was a break. I needed it. Got on my bike, did a long ride. I did a hike. And it was fun. It was nice. Mr. Black, how are you, kid?
Cappy, what's going on?
All is good. All is good. It was a nice weekend. The weather has turned. So it's nice. Keep it warm. I love that when it gets in the 80s. It's phenomenal. It's so phenomenal.
It's going to be 87 today. We're close to 90. This, my friend, is what we wait all year for in the city
of
Chicago.
Tracy Butler gets a gold star today.
She's got a lot of rain this week. Her star is silver.
Do you think we're going to get that much more rain?
Listen, I don't know. I just go by what Tracy says. I look at her forecast. It says rain a couple days. I say, damn you, Butler.
Well, at least we got our heat. So, are you guys excited that it looks like we're going to have NBA basketball? It looks like we're going to have hockey. It looks like we're going to get baseball back. I'll be shocked if they don't get a deal done here this week. And so, if you get all that back, are the two of you, Danny and Chris, jacked up, excited, or do you think, I don't know. Where are you on this? Positive?
I couldn't be more excited. In before the show started, you do something that's called a tease, where you come in during the commercial break and you tell the audience, hey, I'm coming up in a couple minutes and this is on tap. Mm-hmm. And you said, I'm telling you, the NBA is coming back.
Yep.
And I was in the hallway walking towards the studio, and I heard you say that, and I got extremely excited. It was like, all right, it's 87 degrees, it's summer, this is what we wait all year for in Chicago, and on top of that, Cap is telling me that the NBA is coming back. I read stories all weekend about the NHL's plan for return, how they're going to have this cool tournament style, this play-in tournament before they get to the real actual playoffs. I am super stoked. I believe the NBA is coming back. I believe the NHL is coming back. I believe by the 4th of July, I'm going to be watching live sports. Now I'm just waiting for baseball, the players and the owners to stop being greedy SOBs, come to an agreement, and life can resume.
Christopher, you excited by this? Are you more trepidation? How would you characterize your thought process?
Excited. Who would be the opposite of that? Like, what, I don't understand. Who's against live sports right now? You know what I'm saying? Like, of course I'm excited. I think Danny's a little maybe forward-thinking, thinking that July 4th we'll have live sports. It sounds like the NBA won't get up and running until the end of July. So if these sports leagues can get things going by the start of July, that's even better. But I think as long as we can have something to look forward to where we're previewing either a 24-team playoff in the NHL and getting a chance to talk about the Blackhawks as a team that's actually going to compete for something meaningful, I think that will be fun. I think the NBA, whatever situation they have, there is a lot to tie up at the end of this season that will be meaningful. It's meaningful for LeBron. It's meaningful for even the Bulls on a lower level. If they're included in this in some fashion, you know, does Jim Boylan coach for his job? Is that something that we see here towards the end of this summer? I think it's all great. It's all meaningful. How could you be opposed to live sports? I don't get that, because I think today we finally get the morsel of hope where we can actually set some plans in place. And I think that's all great, because the more we can get towards that and having something to look forward to, we saw how it worked for the NFL draft. We had a date on the calendar. We could build towards it. It took place. It was excellent. And then we could kind of look at it as a sporting community, as something enjoyable. The Last Dance gave us something to look forward to each and every Sunday. The golf this weekend, Tiger, Phil, Peyton, Brady, that was something to look forward to. People are tuning in to things that they can look forward to. Thus, it will be awesome when we can get some actual dates on the calendar.
The interesting thing will be if baseball gets this deal done, because without all this stupid rhetoric that we were hearing, I believe that means that we're making progress. I'm hearing that we're making progress. I'm just telling you, after reading Buster Olney and then doing a bunch of homework, the Cubs are in the worst spot of maybe any team in the league. I'm just telling you, that is a financial tough putt, I guess is the best way to put it. Very tough putt. And people are like, why? Because the Cubs make 70% of their revenue surrounding their game day experience. And I've heard people go, I don't believe that. Well, Liberty Media is the owner of the Atlanta Braves. That's a public company. So they had to file, and they had auditors come in and look at the books. 63% of the Braves' revenue comes from their game day experience. The Cubs charge more money for tickets. The Cubs have more fans. The Cubs are a much bigger thing around the stadium than anybody else in sports, basically. So the 70% number, as I did my homework, legit. They got issues, man. They do. And the guys that turned down massive contract extensions over the last four seasons, the Bryants, the Contreras, the Baez, I'm just telling you, man, they're never getting that money back. Now, who could have predicted a pandemic? I was told over the weekend by someone who would know that Mookie Betts, the Red Sox took one last run at him, and they offered him 10 years, $300 million. And he said, nah, I'm good. I can get $400 on the open market. What can you buy with $400 that you can't buy with $300? And someone's handing you, I'm not talking about lifetime security, I'm talking about multi-generational security for your family. $300 million, all guaranteed. Nah, I'm good. He ain't going to come close to what they offered. Not going to come close. I just don't understand the mentality. But at least we're going to get sports back. And that is such great news to get the Blackhawks back. And I did hear that there were people saying, look, the Blackhawks defense is terrible. It is. But with an elite goal scorer like Patrick Kane and a quality Stanley Cup winning multi-time goaltender in Corey Crawford, you don't want to play them in a five-game series. You do not want to play the Chicago Blackhawks. Red-hot goalie, a red-hot scorer all of a sudden, and you go, oh, my goodness. What? The Hawks have moved on? So I think it'll be cool. 24-team tournament is going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. 312-332-3776. Do you believe we're getting sports back? Are you excited by that possibility?
312-332-3776. We'll get to your calls in a minute. Also, over the weekend, we had the match. And it was a beautiful day. And my wife's saying to me, "You're going inside to watch golf? Hon, I got to watch some of this." And Tom Brady was playing golf like Danny Zetterman at the start. Danny doesn't play. I mean, he was horrible. Did you watch any of it, Danny?
I did. I tuned in here and there.
He was horrible. And then the greatest thing was the tweet by Brooks Koepka. After the fifth hole, he said, "All right, if you get at least a par on any of the next four holes on the front nine, I'll donate $100,000 to the COVID-19 relief fund." This is what happened on the seventh hole.
What do you got left here, Tom? His third.
I think you just made him mad, Chuck.
Oh, no, I love it, though, man. He can take a joke.
Oh, go in! Oh, my goodness!
Oh, you made it!
Wow!
Take a suck of that, Chuck.
Take a suck of that, Chuck. It was great. Absolutely awesome. And then he and Mickelson, who were three down, and when Mickelson gets up over like a 12-foot putt, they're going to be four down, and he just rams it in the hole. Just bam. Take that. And they got it to one down and couldn't find a way to finish it off. But it was just so much fun. Here's Brooks Koepka on the phone after Brady made that shot that cost Koepka $100,000.
What's up, big guy?
TB, that was some shot.
Thanks, baby.
That's all I got to say. That was impressive. I love it.
I'm one for eight holes, so I'm glad it was that one.
Hey, we're going to – with this, hey, you're just stepping it up right now. That's it.
So but you know why I'm not coming from behind, especially against this guy over here on my left. He knows he's a little scared right now. I see a twinkle in his eye. He's a little walking a little.
Hey, no lead is safe. No lead is safe.
Well, I think for either of us. Unfortunately, I don't think we play much of a role here. I think the two guys behind us do, but we'll get one in the fairway here. Tough hole.
Hey,
so, Brooks, you got another 100,000 on this hole for a par?
Yeah, I got another 100,000 on this one for a par.
Okay.
Is 100 for a...
for a par.
Did you get it for the birdie back there?
Yeah,
it had to be a par.
No.
There you go. So that was really just cool interaction. And I would hope that the old golf crowd would wake up and realize, boy, putting mics on these guys and having this fun environment, whole lot better than, shh, we're golfing. We can't make any noise. We can't have any personality. We're playing golf. Shut the H up. 312-332-3776. And I'm asking you this question. Would the Cubs be better off as an organization if there's no season this year? That is next.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So, are the Cubs in the worst position of any team in baseball because they rely more on the game day experience than any other team in the sport, it looks like? They could lose up to $200 million. So are they better off not playing? Can they find a way, if we do start playing live sports, to get a deal done with Xfinity to get their games back on Comcast cable? Because right now the marquee network is seen in, what, 38% of the homes? That's it. And the bet that the Xfinity bosses made was a winning one because they did not make a deal to carry spring training. Took some heat from some people about that and went, "No, we're good. We'll wait." Now, would they have gotten a deal done for opening day? We'll never know. I don't know what they were thinking there. But they didn't have to pay cable fees to the marquee network for March, April, May, June. That is huge money. We're talking many times a million, millions of dollars that did not go in the Cubs' pocket, or I should say Sinclair and the marquee network, and instead stayed in Comcast's pocket. Now, will they get a deal done if they announce this week baseball's back July 4th? Are they going to get a deal done? Remains to be seen. But the Cubs are in a really, really tough spot. They're in a much worse position than, take the White Sox. Cubs are saying 70% of their revenue comes from the game day experience. And there have been people who have questioned that. Well, when you see Theo Epstein taking a 35% pay cut, same with Crane Kenny, and again, there'll be no tag days for those guys. They make a lot of money, and deservedly so. But Cubs are in a tough spot here. And there have been people in the game who feel like they're going to tell Theo, the Ricketts, you better start moving some money off the books. Just get what you can, get the money off the books. But who's taking it? That was the question an agent said to me over the weekend. Okay, they tell you you got to move Chris Bryant's $18 million. Now, get it out of here. Get what you can. Get it out of here. Well, what team, because nobody's drawing fans, what team is going to say, yeah, I got $18 million laying around? Nobody. They're trying to pay their employees without furloughs. It's a bad deal, man. We're in a bad spot here in professional sports, and that's why they've got to start playing. There is a school of thought, Danny, I think you saw the article, that the Cubs might be better off not playing. I don't believe that. I think they've got to get back on the field. They've got to get a deal done with the players. MLB does. But that whole Wrigleyville experience, that's a big problem.
Yeah, Paul Sullivan wrote a great piece in the Chicago Tribune over the weekend, and he talks about how, on top of the fact that there are nobody going to games, there are no games, the Chicago Cubs have the marquee sports network, which isn't making money. They own the Hotel Zachary, which currently isn't making money. They own restaurants in Wrigleyville, which aren't making money. They own a real estate arm called Hickory Street Capital, not making money. They own 11 rooftops, and they have Gallagher Way, all of which right now are not making money because of the coronavirus that we're dealing with, the pandemic, the stay-at-home order, nobody going out, nobody going to games. On top of that, losing all that money, if they decide to play a shortened 82-game series season, which we're all hoping for, they'd have to pay half of everybody's pay. So that on
unless we get a different deal done.
Correct, but that's what it's looking at right now. So on top of all the money they're losing in bad business ventures at this point, they'd have to shell out 50% of payroll. And Paul Sullivan suggests maybe the Cubs would be better off not playing the season. And that got me wondering when I read it, do you think the Ricketts family are secretly hoping that a deal doesn't get done? Because at this point, it's just a black hole that their money's going down.
I do not. I believe, and I did some, you know, pretty good investigative work over the last few days. They want to play. They absolutely want to play. They want to get baseball back. They know how important the Cubs are to so many people. And as somebody in the game that I trust said to me, if we don't play for financial reasons, this isn't like 94. We will do irreparable harm. 35 million people are out of work, and you jackasses can't figure it out, billionaires and millionaires. They said, people think, well, they'll come back. People always come back. People will be so incensed that it will do irreparable harm to the
sport. Not arguing. I think baseball as a whole needs to come back, and I think baseball as a whole wants to come back. I'm specifically asking about Tom Ricketts and his siblings that own the Chicago Cubs. And you know, in Sully's piece in the Tribune, he quotes one of the Ricketts siblings, I think it's Todd, saying, hey, come on, we all come from business backgrounds. So they understand that the Cubs are a business.
Yeah, that
so
quote was question, from 09, though.
Yes, when they bought the team.
Yeah.
My question for you is not, do they want baseball to come back because of what it means to America and how America needs it? My question to you is Tom Ricketts and his siblings as business people, Are they deep down hoping that the season doesn't come up because they can't afford to lose any more money? Now, listen, like you said, nobody feels bad for billionaires losing money. Obviously, you don't want anybody to lose money, but we're all going through hardships right now. Pay cuts, furloughs, people are getting laid off. People, the heartstrings aren't out there for the Ricketts family at this point. However, my question for you is, do you think that they're hoping the season doesn't get played because they don't want to lose any more money going forward?
Yeah, I believe they want to play. I do. I think they want to push through, and if we get a deal done, the Cubs want to play 100%. The AP is reporting that the Cubs' potential losses could be $199 million, fourth worst after the Yankees, Dodgers, and Mets. Players Union may dispute the numbers, and except for the publicly held Braves, Sullivan writes, teams' financials can only be estimated. The Cubs declined to comment on the AP report, but one source said the club, as Danny just said, would be better off financially, at least in the short term, if the season was canceled than if their players received prorated salaries combining for more than $100 million or about half of their 2020 payroll. Look, I've been told they want to play. Yes, it's going to be a bad deal. They're going to get crushed financially. All these guys are taking pay cuts. The rest of the world's doing the same thing. They just got to figure it out. They do. They just got to figure this thing out.
I have to ask a question to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Cap, you started this off by saying that the Cubs could be the team in the worst situation financially after this.
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible when, like, the Oakland Athletics can't even pay their rent on their stadium? That was a story out in Oakland in the Bay Area, what, like 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Said they currently are not paying rent on their own stadium because they can't afford to. How could the Cubs be in the worst situation when you have the Rays, the Royals, the Athletics, all these small market teams that make no money to begin with, and now they certainly are not making money? How could the Cubs be in a worse situation? It's only because of the payroll? I mean, doesn't this go a lot deeper that the financial issues for this organization were there before the pandemic even started?
From what I've been told, the reason the Cubs are in such a tough spot, first of all, their payroll commitments are $220 million, where the A's are a fraction of that.
Well, yeah, but they also make way more than the A's do.
But they're going to lose 70% of their revenue because of the game day experience. The A's don't have that. They don't draw well. They don't have a massive TV deal. Like, their losses are a lot more manageable. And if they at least get back on TV, the A's will make some money. The Cubs are making nothing on their new network. Nothing.
I don't know if this answers Chris's question, but this is from Sully's piece in the Tribune. The Associated Press, citing an MLB document on the financial ramifications of paying prorated player salaries during an 82-game season in empty ballparks, reported the Cubs' potential losses could be $199 million, fourth worst after the Yankees at $312 million,
mm-hmm.
the Dodgers at $232 million, and the Mets at $214 million.
Right. Yeah, no, I know their payroll is more than the other teams I mentioned, but each year that passes, the Cubs make more money than the Athletics, than the Rays, than other teams. So, like, how much debt do the Cubs carry with them that just roll over each year if they're never cash flow positive to actually build up a reserve to have, you know what I'm saying? Like, they just are always operating under debt.
No,
I don't understand how, like, because the pandemic hits, yes, everyone's hurting, but, like, how are they going to be the team worse off? Wouldn't you think the Miami Marlins would be worse off?
They just
built a new ball. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's an interesting. What Chris is saying is interesting because no baseball could just mean the end of the Rays or end of the A's or the end of the Pirates.
And there's a possibility that happens, but I believe the Marlins got significant state of Florida and city of Miami help to build their stadium.
Certainly, but they still had to build the stadium. That's an expense, right?
And that's a previous ownership group.
I just find it, like, to me, this is a deeper issue than just the pandemic.
And the Cubs are turning a profit, and all the profit goes back into Theo's payroll, which has allowed them to get it to the second highest payroll in all of baseball. But no team in the sport is going to lose more than the Cubs in terms of percentage of revenue. Like the Yankees, they own the YES Network. It's a slam dunk financial success, but it's been up and running for a long time. So the Cubs are getting zero out of their TV deal right now.
So since you said it, the profit's going directly back in to support the payroll of the baseball team itself. So does this mean after this, will the Cubs then turn into a mid-market team?
That's a great question.
And that's how they'll spend?
That is a great question. That's a great... When do we get fans back?
Right.
Are we going to get 40,000 on a Saturday to see the Cubs and Cardinals? Or is this go through 2021? I mean, this is some serious, serious stuff that they're dealing with here. Like the White Sox, it's a different deal. It's a different deal. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We'll get to your calls. Eddie Olczyk at 10 o'clock. Be right back.
This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So, you got a team on the south side that's on an upward trajectory, big time, the White Sox. And by the way, Chris Black, first to come up with an awesome idea, and I hope that the powers that be, Brooks Boyer, George McDaniel, and the crew over there at Guaranteed Rate are listening this morning. Black had a great idea, and I'll give it to you in a second again. But the Cubs are going to be more impacted than any team in professional sports because they make 70% of their revenue on the game day experience. And by that, I mean tickets and suites being skyboxes, and concessions and parking and all the rooftops and all the bars that they have and the hotel and the restaurants. And I'm hearing from somebody who would know, Danny Boy, that some of the restaurants across the street want out. They're done. Can't make it. We're out. Like, they struggle when there's not baseball.
Well, you see the turnover every year. Baseball season ends. People stop going to Wrigleyville as much, and you lose some of your favorite restaurants.
Yeah, I'm hearing they could lose their pizza sponsor and others that are saying, we don't have the money. We're done. We're out. We can't pay those rents. So they're in a tough spot here. Now, again, there will be no tag days for the Ricketts family. None. They have a ton of money. But in terms of the business of the Chicago Cubs, they're in a really tough spot here. The White Sox don't make nearly as much money as the Cubs on the game day experience. A lot of teams don't. The Braves, 63% attributed to game day revenue. The Cubs, fourth in all of attendance. The Braves were 12th. So it's a fair comparison to say, well, wait a minute. The Braves are 63% game day. The Cubs are fourth in attendance, eight spots ahead, averaging 38,000 plus. Yeah, the 70% number makes sense, especially when you factor in it's a bad time to be starting your own TV network. It's just a bad time, man. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. And I think we're getting hockey back today. We might hear something. And basketball. Kevin's in Valpo. Hey, Kevin, what's up, man?
Cap, got a little bet for you. With this 2014 playoff, you can get the Blackhawks at 250-1 on MyBookie.
How much?
.com. 250-1.
They're not winning the Stanley Cup. They have a horrible defense.
Got a shot. It's worth a sprinkle.
What's a better bet? The Blackhawks to win the Stanley Cup at 250-1 or Mitchell Trubisky to be the MVP at 250-1?
Blackhawks.
Yeah, I would probably agree. Hey, man, have a good day.
Thanks, you too.
Stay safe.
They did one of those computer programs where they ran the odds and it came out to the Blackhawks have a 2.5% chance of winning the Stanley Cup. If they ran one of those on Mitchell Trubisky, let's be honest, he'd have 0% of winning the NFL MVP award.
I would agree. 312 312-332-3776 is our phone number. The match over the weekend actually, by just slightly, had better numbers than The Last Dance. How about that? Now, people are so starved for sports that they wanted anything live. And when you've got Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning, it was awesome, awesome theater. And I would hope that the powers that be would now look and go, you know what? Maybe we ought to bring more personality to the event. Several years ago, Bill Murray was playing in the, I think, the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, and he was hilarious. Hilarious. And Tiger Woods complained. Said, just making a joke of it. We don't need all this. I want to concentrate on my golf. And so they told Bill, you got to tone the act down. And he basically gave them the middle finger and didn't come back. And then after lower ratings, they called and said, okay, maybe we were wrong. You want to come back? So, interesting. Interesting.
Charles Barkley certainly helped that broadcast.
He was awesome.
Listen, you know me. I'm never shy about the fact that I'm not the biggest golf fan. I don't like to watch golf.
Mm-hmm.
I especially don't find it entertaining. I love Jim Nance, but like the guys that sit next to him that feel like they have to whisper and talk in this mic. Like the guys on the course can't hear you. You can have a little inflection. You can have some energy, and that never happens in golf except for Jim Nance because he's one of the best. Charles Barkley was great.
Well, they can actually hear you if they're broadcasting. Casting at your hole, they can.
Yeah, but that happens in one out of 18 holes. I mean, they don't hear you the entire round.
Hey, Harry Zetterman, please call your son after the show and set him straight on some of the etiquette on the golf course.
But when why does it, listen? What if it? I've been golfing 100 times.
If, no way you played 100 rounds.
Oh my God! When I was a kid, that's why I hate golf. My dad would make me golf twice a week, every week from like sixth grade to high school. He thought I was going to be the next Tiger Woods, and he was Earl. The point is, if I talk while you're golfing, it doesn't affect you. Like, a guy can hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball in a stadium full of people talking on their phones, cheering, singing music. They're fine. A dude standing there over a little white ball has to have complete silence, and that's why golf is boring. But this match play that we saw was fun because they were all talking trash. Charles Barkley was having a good time. Eli Manning on Twitter was outstanding.
Oh, he was great.
Great! But, like, it was fun. It made golf fun.
Here, take a listen to this.
If you could have brought a caddy today, who would it have been?
Brady, we were talking. He would have brought Gronkowski because Gronk does whatever Tom asks him to do. Gronk will wrestle, take a year off, come play in Tampa with me later.
I've seen Phil do some odd things before, but having T-Dub mark that ball has got
to
be up there.
You want me to use one of my U.S. Open medals?
Do you have one?
Huh?
Do you have any? I got some silver ones. Do you have any of the gold ones?
Be fairway over on 7.
These aren't the Falcons you're playing against. Tiger's a pretty good closer.
Same colors though. It's the Eagles that I cringe, bro, not the Falcons. Hold on, hold on. Let me step on that real quick. Let me step on that.
Let me put in Michigan.
They haven't been good since you left.
Everything I think about is what would Charles not do?
So great. Then did you see after they finished the match, Barkley had to play the 18th hole, and if he got a par or better, that would be how much money would go to the COVID-19 relief fund. And, of course, he gagged and made a 6. So great. So great. By the way, Danny, you need to get the boys on the afternoon show to hook you and Charles up. You need to start listening to the Armchair Nutritionist. Holy smokes. He's gotten large.
He's a big boy. When you watch The Last Dance and they showed him in the 93 finals and how good he looked and what an athlete it was, and then you see him on Sunday, you're like, boy, that's hard to believe that's the same man.
He's enormous. And
yeah, but a lot of times those guys, because their whole lives are dedicated to taking care of themselves and health and fitness, when they finally retire, they're like, listen, I don't want to work out ever again.
Right,
I don't want to watch what I eat. I'm done. I've done it for 30-something years. I need to just chill.
And then you got other guys like some of these offensive linemen. They lose half their body. They look amazing. I just read a great article. You got to get them on your podcast, Danny. The offensive lineman from the Ravens. Who's the star offensive lineman who just retired?
Michael Orr?
No, not Michael Orr.
From the Blind Side.
Yes, the Blind Side, yes.
Oh, who was the star offensive?
Well, Michael Orr was in the Blind Side, yeah.
Yeah, but he's not.
I mean, that's what it was
anymore.
About. It was about him.
He was the Ravens star offensive lineman. He's been in the Pro Bowl. He's been an all pro forever. I can't remember what his name is. He's gone from. He said, I knew when we got eliminated, upset by Tennessee in the playoffs in January, I knew that was the last snap I was ever going to take. And his family, his wife and like three daughters, would always ask him to go on walks.
Marshall Yanda.
That's who it is. And he couldn't do it. He said, no, my feet hurt, my knees hurt, my back hurts, and he could not go on the walks. Do you know how much weight he's lost today?
He dropped 64 pounds in 4 months.
And he looks amazing. And now every night they walk as a family, he feels like a different human being. There's your armchair nutritionist. You had Ethan Suplee.
I did.
People are like, who the hell's that? That was Louis Lastic, the old lineman in Remember the Titans, who lost 200 pounds.
A lot of those offensive linemen and defensive linemen have to work to keep that weight up.
Yeah.
You saw it like with Joe Thomas. That dude's ripped now.
Ripped.
You see it with Jeff Saturday on ESPN TV all the time.
Amazing. My son, Garrett, 299. He's 218.
Guys, I can't believe you haven't named Kyle Long, who was hanging out with us for
a
week.
That's right. Our guy.
He looked like half the player.
And now he's lost more.
He looks great.
He does.
But he didn't look like the mountain of a man that he was when he was playing for the Bears.
He told us in that room right over there, what did he say he weighed when they played the Eagles in the wild card game? 352. He's like 260 now.
He had his shirt off during one of our morning meetings.
Yes. He's jacked. And he's the best guy in the world. All right, we'll take a fast timeout. Speaking of hoops, Scottie Pippen, is Kobe better than MJ? Pip will tell you that answer next.
This is Cap and Company. Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hey, Chris, this hour brought to you by CBDMD. Check it out. Stuff's awesome. Discover the secret to everyday wellness, CBDMD. Superior CBD, superior you. Get 20% off when you enter the code WADDLE. My wife has been using that stuff. They have this roll-on, and it is helping her ailing hip in a big way. Danny, I've been after you, man, for 4 years to try CBD.
You were on the cutting edge, Cap. I remember you referring to it as the dope.
Yep. Remember I said, I'm not using that stuff. I don't want to get high.
And I'm now not taking the dope.
It's the greatest stuff out there.
It's the best, man. Oh. If you have problems sleeping, it's the best.
I don't, thank goodness.
I do.
When I roll over, I'm out. Gone. See ya. But, yeah, who in here were you telling to use CBD to help them sleep?
Boyle. I got Boyle on it. I've gotten Tracy Butler on it because she has migraines. I'm a big fan of CBD.
You were cutting edge, man. Yep. You were way out in front, and I mocked you, and now
you always mock me.
Because I love you.
Okay.
312-332-3776. One Scottie Pippen, or the night he got drafted, they call him Scott Pippen. But Scottie Pippen, apparently, they found audio back in the day of him being asked, Kobe versus MJ. Here's Scotty.
You know, I hate that we didn't tell him how great he really was, because he strived so hard to be Michael Jordan. And when I go back and I look at his videos and I say to myself, damn, he was better than Michael Jordan, because he worked so hard. He put it in. This kid came out of high school. He didn't go play for North Carolina under Dean Smith. Like, he worked at his craft. Bilingual, like, God bless his soul.
God bless his soul. That was shortly after Kobe was tragically killed in January in that helicopter accident. Look, I am going to always say that Michael is the GOAT. He's the best of all time. Kobe's in my top 5-6 players. I mean, there's been some amazing, amazing players. Abdul-Jabbar, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, LeBron James, Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant. I mean, there's just amazing talent. But I'm still going to settle on Michael Jordan as the GOAT. I just don't see anybody that is better than him.
Two things about what we just heard. The first is you can't say it was sour grapes because of The Last Dance. Because he said that in January before The Last Dance aired. Secondly, though, what I don't understand is, was he saying that Kobe was a harder worker than Michael? Because when we watched The Last Dance, it looked like Michael was the hardest working guy on the court at all times.
They were equal.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. Because Kobe's bilingual, he's better than Michael. Because he didn't go to college and Michael went to college, that made him better. Like, Pippen's point, I didn't get Pippen's point. Like, both guys were super hard workers. Michael went to college. In college, he developed a different kind of game because he got to play for one of the greatest coaches ever in Dean Smith.
Yep.
That shouldn't be a slight on him as compared to Kobe, who went straight to the league.
And was bilingual. I don't know how many languages Kobe spoke. I think it was 3 or 4 at least.
And Kobe wasn't great his first year. I mean, Kobe was known as the kid that airballed.
Yeah, Kobe came. He was around the world because of his dad's background playing in Europe. And look, Kobe was an amazing, amazing player. Amazing. And I still settle on Michael Jordan, for me, clearly, is the number one player of all time. I don't care what LeBron's numbers are when he retires. He will never, for me, be better than Michael Jordan. But I can also tell you, and I reported this last week, I think Danny was off, Scottie Pippen is furious at how he was portrayed in The Last Dance and furious with Michael. And apparently Michael was the only one that got paid from the whole documentary. Now, whether he kept it, gave it to charity, I can just tell you there are guys that are mad. Multiple guys. But Scottie Pippen, I was told by someone who would know, he is livid. And that's why you haven't heard him talk to anybody. I've reached out. He's come on this show before. I've done TV with him. I reached out and thought we could get him on and give him a platform like we did with Horace. No chance.
What's he so mad about?
He felt that other than the last few minutes of Game 6 in the last episode when they showed, you know, him being a warrior, that everything basically, Michael called him selfish, that everything pointed to negative. 1.8 seconds, migraine, contract, get my surgery in November because I don't want to F up my summer, all of it.
But weren't all those things they showed factual? And also, MJ did say that Scottie Pippen was his best teammate of all time.
But he called him selfish.
But wasn't it selfish of Scottie to say he didn't want to F up his summer? Like, is that not the definition of selfish? You could have surgery to help the team, or you could put it off to have a nice summer.
Don't disagree with you, but...
Like, I understand Pippen being mad, and I also thought that it portrayed Pippen in a bad light. It really did, but... It portrayed Pippen in a bad light because it pointed out all the truths. The 1.8 seconds happened.
But if I was doing a documentary about you, based on you guys, I'm going to try and put you in the best possible light. I'm not going to every episode keep drilling Danny.
But if there were major, like, those are all major marks in Bulls history. Like, all I have to say to a Bulls fan is 1.8 second, and they know. All
correct,
I have to say to a Bulls fan is migraine, and they know.
But what multiple people have told me, including Horace on this very show, Michael wasn't on that team. It did not ever need to be covered. Michael wasn't there that year.
Well, they tied it into him watching the game from playing baseball.
And Horace felt, and Bill Cartwright said it, we cleared that up that day before we walked out of the locker room. We were all united. We were past it. And to bring it up when you weren't even on the team, a lot of the former teammates thought it was dirty pool.
Wasn't the complaint that it was too much of a Michael Jordan doc and not a Bulls doc?
Correct.
So now the complaint is they cover too much of the Bulls story then?
I can't answer that for you.
But the players are complaining, oh, too much about Jordan. But then when they cover the other things that took place in that timeline, oh, wait, hold on. Oh, this is a Jordan doc. These players are annoying.
And then
the doc was awesome. Get over yourself.
And then you have Sam Smith over the weekend. In fact, we'll talk about that. It's coming up on 10 o'clock, Eddie Olczyk's going to join us. The great Edzo on the return of the NHL. And then we'll get into this Sam Smith stuff that broke over the weekend as well. Plus, hoping to get news on baseball this week. 312-332-3776. Be right back.